We're holding on Ayin Dalet Omud Beis, the first line of the wide lines. Now, we learned in the Mishnah, they have the case where the husband says to the wife, here's your get on condition that you give me 200 zuz. So we said, if you give him the 200 zuz, yes, and if not, then not. And we discussed some nuances about that. So now the Gemara is going to bring a related halacha and try to derive from it a halacha as far as our case of getting. We learn in a Mishnah in Erech. Now, you have like this. The Torah tells us the concept of bote ore choyma. In general, when you sell real estate in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get it back in Yovel. So it depends. With the field, the rule is you have to wait 2 years before you're allowed to buy it back. And whether you buy it back or not, you're getting it back in Yovel. Houses outside of walled cities, you can buy back anytime right away. And you have to Yovel, and if not, then you get it back in Yovel. Houses in a walled city, the Torah tells us, are an exception. You have exactly 1 year to buy it back, and then if you don't buy it back, then it's gone forever, and you don't even get it back in Yovel. So the Mishnah in Erchin describes Barishona Hoya Nitman Yoim Shnei Masa Chodesh. Originally, the seller of such a the buyer of such a house would hide out on the day that finished the 12 months. So in other words, what happened is sometimes you might have, you know, people leave things for the last moment, or people have, takes time people for a person to raise the money. He finally manages to raise it on the deadline. So so you'd have somebody who had bought a house in a walled city, and he knows the seller is going to be looking for him on that day, on the last day of the 12 months, to buy it back, because he knows if he waits even one more day, it's goner. So that seller would hide out on that day, so the buyer can't. So the buyer would hide out on that day, so the seller can't find him, and that way he'll be able to keep the house. This way he'll be able to keep the house permanently. Hiskin Hillel Azokin. So Hillel Azokin made a takana to get around that. That the seller should be able to deposit his money in a lishka that was designated for the purpose in the Beis Hamikdash. The word cholish actually brings from a pasuk in Yeshaya, refers to in the pasuk over there, it refers to making gerolos, where gerolos are often made by throwing things, like by throwing dice or whatever. So therefore, the word cholish came to mean throwing. The Rambam says actually in Pirush HaMishnayos, maybe it's a special expression that's used in connection with depositing money. Whatever the case, the point is that Hillel made a takana that the seller will be able to deposit the money for the house in a certain chamber in the Beis Hamikdash, and it'll be that now the buyer of the house therefore was able to is zoche in that money from the lishka, the gizborim of the Beis Hamikdash from Mizakeh to him, and now the seller can even break down the door and go back in, because even though the buyer is not around, the money has been deposited. That satisfies the condition that the money should be given, and now he's allowed back into his house. And if the door is locked because the guy is away, because the guy is hiding out, then the original seller can break down the door and come in, and it's his house again. So this way, the guy doesn't gain anything by hiding out, and this way, he might as well be there, and the guy will give him the money. Although there is a very interesting explanation, by the way, from the Rogachover, that we're, after all, I mean, the expression in the Mishnah, Yehei Shover Sadelus, implies like he should be, or he has to be breaking down the door. Why does it use such a strange expression? So the Rogachover has a long explanation based on the idea, based on a Rashba here in our Gemara and other Rishonim, that the seller may have accomplished fine. He's taken the money out of his possession and put it into the lishka. And we're going to be discussing now in the Gemara the more general question of when you give something to somebody without his das. But after all, can we really say that the other person received it? And without him receiving it, maybe we don't have a full kinyan. We know there's various ways of making kinyanim on real estate, on karka, and one of them is kinyan kesef, but that would require that that he actually has to receive it, it would seem. So therefore, so the Rogachover gives a long answer along the lines of that even if we say that, so the Rashba in our Gemara over here says that even if you can say, our Gemara is going to discuss the question, nisina ba'al kocha, when you give something to somebody against their will, can it be considered giving? The Rashba says, sure, it can be considered giving, but it's not necessarily considered a kinyan. So therefore, so uh, So in our case over here, therefore, you don't have a kinyan. So therefore, the Rogachover explains that breaking down the house is a form of chazaka. So therefore, and he goes into also, there's a discussion among the Achronim, there's a discussion in one place in Shulchan Aruch, when it discusses this matter of the various kinds of kinyanim, what happens over here with this house in the walled city? Is it basically that it's considered, once he pays the money, it's considered retroactively that there was no sale at all? Or do we say there was a sale, but the Torah says he's able to buy it back during the year? So now the Rogachover goes on to explain, and he says that there was an actual sale. So and therefore we don't say that now when he wants to buy it back, then we undo retroactively as though there was no sale. So he's going to need a new kinyan. So therefore, that's the breaking down the door accomplishes that. Anyway, that's the Mishnah in Erchin. So now. The Omar Rava, so now going back to our Gemara, so Rava says, Mi takanose shel Hillel nishma, based on Hillel's takana, we can derive the following din. Suppose the husband says to the wife, Hareze gitech amanas shetitnani masayim zuz. Here's your get on condition you give me 200 zuz. V'nosna lemi daite migureshes. Now, if she were to give him that, if she were to give him that 200 zuz, with his consent, then she'd be megurashis. But al korchoi, but if she gives it to him in a way where he didn't want it and he has to be forced to take it from her, ain't a megurashis. Then Rava says you can derive from that story with Hillel that she won't be considered divorced. Why? Because in that particular case of the wall of the house in the walled city, Hillel specifically had to make the takana that it's going to be acceptable to give him the money against his will, and that we can put it in the lishka, etc., which we wouldn't have had otherwise. Implying that usually giving something against somebody's will would not be considered nesina. So you see that here, if she would have given the 200 zuz, shaloi midaito, or against his das, then it wouldn't work, and the get wouldn't be. And the get wouldn't be valid. Which Tosfos says in that case, so Tosfos goes on to discuss, well, in that case, then if originally Nesina Baal Kocha was not considered Nesina, the way Rava is saying it now, then you have to ask, why anyway did the guy in the story with Hillel, why would the buyer of the house have to hide out on the last day of the 12 months? He can just stay there. He can stay in his house. And when the guy knocks on his door and says, here, I have the money for you, he could say, I don't want to accept it. And that's that. Because it was saying, until Hillel's takana, receiving Baal Kocha is not considered receiving. So why was he hiding out? What was the point? He's allowed to, but on the face of it, if we're saying Nesina Baal Kocha, Lo Shema Nesina, he also, when the husband gives the get, on the face of it, the wife has, he's making the tanai, so fine, the wife has the ability to give him the 200 zuz, but he, on the face of it, what Rava is saying is, if the husband says, no, I don't want it, I refuse to receive it from you, then the get won't be a get. Well, by the same token, wouldn't it have been possible for the buyer of the house to say, no, I don't want to receive the money from you? So Tosfos discusses that there's a difference between Befonov and Shaloi Befonov. If it was Befonov, if the guy actually comes to the door, then he's not going to have the chutzpah to not receive it, to not want to take it in order to be able to keep the house. And Beis Din could always force him to accept it Baal Kocha. Here in our Gemara, as we are going to go on to discuss over here, Befonov versus Shaloi Befonov. But in any case, if it's Shaloi Befonov, then you have the problem that he might be Meiz and he might hide out and whatever, and therefore Hillel had to make a takana.
Once
the takana is there, that's what Rava is saying. We're going to have a second loshen soon in the Gemara, but the first loshen is we're saying that takana applies only to bate arichoma; it doesn't apply across the board. Tosfos also discusses another point as well. Now you have that if you borrow money from somebody, when you pay him back, it could even be baal korcha. With the exception of you have a case where you borrowed from him in the city and you want to return it to him out in the middle of nowhere. So he can say, I don't want to receive it over here because what if it gets stolen and then I'm out the money? So Tosfos says, because There, he's not really losing out anything by receiving it. Here, the fact is he has to return the house. Or here, and then in the case that we're, the reason why we're bringing it in Gittin over here is because the husband, by receiving the 200 zuz, is going to have to make, is that the get is going to become, is going to become effective. So you could argue, so Rava is saying that maybe it's not considered to be a nesina in the first place. It's not considered a nesina, and therefore, if she, if, and therefore, if he refuses to take the 200 zuz, then the get won't be able to take effect. Whatever it is, whether he has charat or whether he just wants to harass her, whatever. However, maskifla a papa v'itamer of Shimba Ashi. However, a papa or some say of Shimba Ashi challenged that and says, why the Dilma ki itzdrich le takoni shaloi b'fanav? Maybe the whole point that Hillel had to make the takana is when it's shaloi b'fanav. Here he's not here, and you have to put it in the lishka. Alba b'fanav. No, I said, Makal, the Ba'alman is sin about Kochel, I have a sin. Therefore, you see.
Am I too far?
No, you went too far.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Makal, so therefore, we see, the Ba'alman is sin about Kochel, I have a sin, that usually giving something to somebody against their will is not considered a sin, says Rava. And therefore, so by a get, so it's one thing Hillel would be able to make as Takana by Bate Orechema, because there it's a matter of Mammon, and as we've learned before, Hefker based in Hefker, they have a lot of power when it comes to Dini Mammonis to make Takonis even against the Torah, but not by a get, so therefore, so Hillel's Takona can't cover that. But Maskifla Popovi, Tamer of Shimi Ba'ashi, the Dilma Ki Itzrich Lev Takoni Shaloi B'Fonov, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe Hillel's Takona was only needed to cover the case of Shaloi B'Fonov. Where exactly that? The guy doesn't want to be in town that day. He hides out. So you have to put the money in the lishka, and Hillel's making that should be considered an asina. Alva b'fonav, but here where it's in his presence, where she wants to give him the get, he wants to give him the 200 zuz personally. Bein midaita, bein ba'alkocha, have an asina. Maybe in fact it would be considered an asina, whether he gives it willingly or whether she gives it with his consent or not.
Especially if.
He said to begin with that he wants the 200 zuz, sure, but you could always argue that again, that he's only, that now he doesn't want to take it in order to harass her or something, but
the lesson that he said, it could be that it's actually from what he gave the get a month ago.
Maybe, but that's not the point. Even whether we talk about whether the get was effective then, or whether we said, I'm not telling him an actual dummy, or whether or not, either way, the point is the 200 zuz has to be given in order for it to take effect. So in fact, there is a Tosfos elsewhere, Tosfos or Rosh over here, explain that. So you have to ask, in other words, what was Rava's svara? Why did Rava, who doesn't seem to make it, to be making the distinction between B'fonav and Shaloi B'fonav until Rav Papa or Rav Shimi Ba'ashi points it out, what was he thinking? Isn't that an obvious difference? So they explain a couple of possibilities that, look, you could always be mezaket through somebody else. So why do you have to set aside a lishka for the purpose? So Rava figured that therefore that means if we said that giving Baal Korcha is considered Nesina, then he doesn't have to give it directly to him. He could give it to somebody else to be Mazaka, you be Zoicha, and it's Zachem Ba'odim, Shaloi B'Fonav. And since he didn't do that, then therefore maybe Rava said that even that B'Fonav or Shaloi B'Fonav, it wouldn't make the difference. And either way, you can't do it against the guy's will. And here is also where the Rashba brings in the point that it can be considered Nesina, but it can't be considered receiving on the other end. So therefore, in this case, you could argue that maybe you could argue that the woman has accomplished the Nesina. She's given the money, but can you argue that the other person has received it? Maybe not necessarily. So in the case of the Bate Arichoma, then Hillel made a takana to allow that, but maybe not over here, because there's also the difference by the house over there, receiving the money is a schus. I mean, he loses the house, it's true, but on the other hand, Tosfos points that out. On the other hand, the fact is he's gaining money out of it. On the other hand, the wife receiving a get is not really considered such a schus. We've learned before, you can't say zochen la'odim shaloi b'fanav as far as a get. So there is some discussion about what Rava was thinking over here. But in any case, so Rav Papa is saying that maybe there's no proof. Maybe there's a difference between Midaita and between B'fonav and Shaloi B'fonav. So B'fonav, we would say that any kind of Nesina is considered a Nesina, whether the person is willing to accept it or not. Shaloi B'fonav, we would say it's not, and therefore Hillel is talking about a case of Shaloi B'fonav.
If she gave it to a shliach to give to him. Would that be different?
That wouldn't make a difference, Lahora. But the fact is, the shliach, the question is, can the shliach be zoche in it on his behalf? Is zoche ma'adam shalei b'fanav, but is this considered?
Her shliach, she's giving to him, the shlich is giving it, so this way it's not
right. But the fact is, it doesn't really matter. I don't know if that really, so the husband may be more willing to accept it then, but that's yeah, that's between them. Yeah. Okay, so that's one version of how the discussion went. The ikadam, the others say that the discussion went the other way around. Omar Rava mitakonosa shel hilo. In the second version, Rava says, based on Hillel's takana, then we see hareza gita hamanas shetitni li masayim zuz, that if he says, here's your get on condition you give me 200 zuz, v'nosna le bein midayte u'bein ba'al kochei, and she gives it to him whether with his consent or without it. Havya nesina, you can see from this story of the Bote Arichoyma, Rava says in the second version that it is nesina. V'chi itzrich le Hillel takuni shalei b'fonav, because you know why Hillel would have had to make the Takana is only when it's shaloi b'fonav. Avo b'fonav bein midayte or bein ba'al kochei have a nesina. But if it's b'fonav, then it wouldn't matter whether it's midayte or ba'al kochei. Either way, it would be considered a nesina.
Can you compare or get to?
No, but the point is, in other words, Rava is saying that you see that evidently Hillel's takana was only needed to cover the case where the guy was out of town, where he was nitzman, where he was hiding out, implying that if he was there, he would have no ability to refuse it. Well, then the same thing would apply to a get. Even without, even because he was saying, he said, give me 200 zuz. So he has no ability to be able to back out, which is like what Tosfos was saying in the first Svara, that Rava wasn't making in the first version, Rava wasn't making that distinction. But we could argue that b'fonav he wouldn't have the chutzpah to refuse the money, and the same thing whether by the get or whether by the bote arichoyma, and based on could force him to. So in the second version, Rava himself is making that distinction. B'fonav there was no need for a takana, because it would automatically he'd have to accept it regardless. Only shaloi b'fonav is when Hillel had to make a takana. But according to that, Maskeh thought a popovi tamer of Shimon Ba'ashi, the Dilma afilu b'fonav nami, just the opposite. Maybe even when it's b'fonav, then also midaita ein al korchei loy, then only if she gives it with his das, but not al korchei. The Hillel made it strich le'takin. Hillel made a takana for what was necessary. He didn't include the case of shaloi b'fonav. He didn't include the case of b'fonav because it wasn't necessary. If the guy is b'fonav, then we anyway have, like Tosfos says, he probably wouldn't refuse it anyway, and Basedin could force him to if necessary.
But he's getting money for it.
But right.
But he's
getting money, but on the other hand, he's losing the house. So in the case, well, that's Tosfos equates them. That the point is, in other words, when it comes to the house, he's gaining the money, but he's losing the house. In the case of here, he's gaining the 200 zuz, but he's losing his wife because the get takes effect. So therefore, so here, in other words, the svaras are exactly the opposite as in the first version. The first version, Rava didn't make the distinction between b'fonav, shalai b'fonav, and Rapapa, Roshim Ba'ashi, does make that distinction. In the second version, it's the other way around. Rava holds that distinction, and they were arguing maybe not, maybe there's no distinction, and the fact that Hillel made a takana only for shalai b'fonav is only because that was all that was necessary at the time. But in fact, maybe even if Hillel had seen that it was necessary to... So suppose the guy was standing in front of us and he said, I'm not willing to accept that money. I'm going to keep this house. Maybe Hillel would have included that in his takana as well. But as it is, he didn't find it necessary. And by a get, again, being a matter of Isser Veheter, then Hillel's takana wouldn't be chal at all. Okay, so two different versions of what Rava says and what Rapapa and company are pointing out.
But the case with the get, what was the expression?
The expression he said, I'm giving you the get, I'm a nas that you give me 200 zuz. So we discussed.
Nothing that happens from now, it's just when they get the money.
So we discussed in the Gemara yesterday, we discussed whether Almanas means me'achshav. So when he receives the 200, will the get take effect retroactively to when he gave it, or will it take effect only as when she gives the 200 zuz? That was Ravona versus Rav Yehuda.
If it's happening from back then, he's not going to gain from that accepting because he officially divorced. He can't live with her anyhow.
He can't live with her anyhow, but nonetheless, he may still want that. He doesn't want the get to take effect. Maybe he can reconcile with her. After all, we learned before that then he won't necessarily need a new get if he reconciles with her.
Even if it was ready from now,
because it still doesn't take effect until the 200 zuz are given. So therefore, he still has a chance to reconcile with her and be mevatel the get and so forth. Yeah. This point, by the way, about being mezakeh through somebody else, which I was saying before, Tosfos and Tosfos Arosh mentioned it elsewhere. Here, you also have Tosfos Yishanim actually brings the same point as well. That if we were to say it could be mezaka ba'al kochei in Rava's first version, where he said there's no difference b'fonav, shaloi b'fonav, and the point was we could have said that you could be mezaka through somebody else. The Tosfos Yishanim brings that point over here, and since we see that he didn't do that, and instead he had to make the concept of a lishka, then maybe that shows like Rava's first version that doesn't matter, that doesn't work whether b'fonav or shaloi b'fonav. Okay, the Gemara continues. Now, in the Mishnah, we had the case that Rav Shimon Gamliel told about a case in Sidon where a person says to his wife, here's your get, I'm going to ask that you give me my cloak and that you give me my itztalis, my cloak, and then that got lost. So in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel had said, the Chachamim of his times said that it's fine. All she has to do is give him the value of it and the get will still take effect. And then the Gemara said, implicitly, the Chachamim disagree with him. So the Gemara brings, Omer Rabba Babachana Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Kol Mokam Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Mishnah Seinu, any place in our in Mishnayos, which is to say, specifically in Mishnayos, not in Braises, but any place in the Mishnah where Rav Shimon Gamliel says his opinion, Halacha Kamoise, the Halacha is always like him, Chutz, with the exception of the following three, Me'orev V'Tzidon Uraya Achroina. There's a case involving an Orev at the end of Baba Basra, where you have an argument over there about a person is an Orev Kablon, where Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and then Levi is the Orev. So now you have, we've learned earlier in our Masechta, there's a difference between a regular Orev versus an Orev Kablon, and we discussed what exactly does that mean. Rashi had learned over there that it means that Levi is actually taking the money from Reuven and bringing it to Shimon. Tosfos objected that in that case, that makes him the actual borrower, not an Orev, and so they explained the concept of Orev Kablon differently. Anyway, the point is that now it's like this. Normally in the case of an Orev, so if you have a regular case of an Orev, not an Orev Kablon, the din is that when Reuven, so that's what I'm saying. According to Rashi, the difference is that an Orev just says, I'll be an Orev, I'll be the guarantor. And an Orev Kablon would be where he actually takes the money from Reuven and brings it to Shimon. According to Tosfos, that wouldn't make him an Orev Kablon, that would make him the actual borrower. And so Tosfos explains differently that he accepts on himself a bigger standard of Arev or whatever. It's like this. A normal Orev, the rule is you first have to go after the borrower himself. So Reuven is lending money to Shimon. When Reuven wants to get the debt paid off, he can't go to Levi first and say, you pay me, and then you get reimbursed from Shimon. He has to first go to Shimon. Only if Shimon has no nechasim or whatever, then he can go to Levi. Now, what happens if he's an Orev Kablon? So then Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even then, also an Orev Kablon, you also have to go to Shimon first. The Chachamim disagree and say in that case, because he's an Orev Kablon, you can go to Levi first. So now that's one of the three cases where the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The second one is Tzidon, the case of our Mishnah. So because it took place in the city of Tzidon, so it's called Tzidon for short. So this case where he wanted that she should give him his itzdalus, and instead the itzdalus is lost, and she gave him the money. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel said that's fine; she can give him the money. The Chachamim we said implicitly disagree with him and say it has to be the itzdalus itself. So and the halacha is like them; it has to be that itself. Which again, the Gemara is going to go into now and discuss it and discuss another nafkamina from that. That we're going to deal with. And the third one, Raya Achrona, that is in Sanhedrin. You have two cases. You have one case in Sanhedrin where Beis Din says to a person, so you're in Beis Din now, there's a claim against you. Do you have any proof? Do you have any edim? Do you have any shtar, any anything? So you can have one case where he says, I don't have anything. So at the time, as far as he knows, he has no edim or no shtar or whatever. And then later on, he comes up with one. So then you have another case. So the order in the Mishnah over there is first you have one where you have what's called Raya Rishona, which is they tell him you have 30 days. You have a deadline of 30 days to bring your Rias. And if not, then we're not going to accept him anymore because we got to get this thing off our calendar and the other guy wants his money already. So the guy says, I don't have. So the guy says, I don't have. Then after he says, he doesn't come back within 30 days with it, but he comes back afterwards with them. So does that work? Rav Shimon Gamliel says, yes, that works. He couldn't help it. He couldn't find his rias within 30 days. So there the halacha is like him. We allow that. However, in a second case in the Mishnah over there, where they tell him, you bring your rias, and he says, I don't have any at all. And then later on, he finds some. Again, Rav Shimon Gamliel argues and says that he should be able to bring them. And there, the halacha is not like him, because to begin with, the fact that he said, I don't have any rias at all, then why is all of a sudden he's changing his mind?
Well, the same statement he made about the other
case. No, because in the other case, he said, in the other case, he wasn't able to find them and bring them within 30 days. Let's say the adim that he has, he wasn't able, they were out of town.
He didn't say, I don't have it, so I have to try to.
So he said, whatever. He said he wasn't able to find them within the 30 days. So the Chachamim will say, too late. And Reb Shimon Gamliel will say, that's still fine. But if he said, I have no adim, I have no raya, then the Chacham are going to say, well, it's too late. And Reb Shimon Gamliel is still going to say, it's not too late. He can still bring his Edim, it was Raya, and there the Halacha is not like it. So there you have, so those are the three cases where the Halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel, so therefore our Mishnah is one of them. There's a Yerushalmi or something that says the idea that Reb Shimon Gamliel, Halachas Ketzuvas HaYoyimim P'i Beis Dino. He was saying fixed Halachas in the name of his Beis Din, and that is why the Halacha is usually like him. So Dertus HaRishonim, a sefer on Jewish history, explains during Reb Shimon Gamliel's time, during much of his time, it was actually very dangerous for the Nasi to be together with the Sanhedrin. The Romans realized already how important the Sanhedrin is and how important the Nasi is, and they were trying to prevent them from getting together. So therefore, most of the time, in other words, he learns what that Yerushalmi means, is that most of the time when we say the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, most of the time when we say Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion, we don't necessarily mean that this was, that they actually sat there in the Beis Din and discussed it. It's more like the Beis Din put out this din in his name, and they discussed this. They said, we agree this should be the halacha. Let's ask Reb Shimon Gamliel. We'll send a messenger to his house or whatever to ask whether he agrees, and he agreed, and therefore, so that became the halacha. So therefore, the halacha is usually like him, because it means that all the chachamim had to have discussed it together themselves before they would even send it to him for consideration. So therefore, so maybe these three were times when not like that, when they're able to all sit together in the Beis Medrash and they have their opinion and he has his, or maybe we don't know why these three are an exception. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We're talking like 70, 80, 90 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Harezik gitich v'ani yorshali. Suppose the husband says to the wife, here's your get, but the paper is going to belong to me. We had this earlier in the Masech, actually. So Eina Megurasha, so she's not divorced because he has to give her a get, but Nosan B'yada.
Give it to her, then get it. She has to give it back.
No, but that's the point. In other words, so that's going to be the next one. I'm going to ask you to have Ziri Liyasani Yor, that'll work. But if he says to begin with, I want the paper to be mine all the time, so what are the letters written on? Just on air. So therefore, it's no good. On the other hand, if she says, on condition that you return me the paper, Megurashas, then she is divorced. And then she just has to return her the paper. Well, the question is, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa? Why is there a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains the point of the question. Now, we discussed yesterday the point of when you have When a person says amanas, is that the equivalent of saying me'achshav? We discussed yesterday that Rebbe holds that it is, that when you say amanas, what it means is, so for example, he gives her, let's say in the case of our Mishnah with the 200 zuz, he says, here's your get, and it'll take effect, amanas, that you give me 200 zuz. We said Rebbe holds that saying amanas is the equivalent of saying me'achshav. Therefore, what happens is that when she gives him the 200 zuz, it takes effect retroactive to when he gave the get. However, we said this. So now we said, do the Chachamim disagree? We said in Bavel, they understood that the Chachamim disagree with that. In Eretz Yisrael, they learned that, no, the Chachamim do agree with Rebbe on that, and they disagreed on a different case. So now, at this point, the Gemara is assuming, like the Chachamim did in Bavel, that the Chachamim disagree, that the Chachamim of Rebbe's generation disagree with him on this point about Almanas, so therefore it's not Me'achshav. So the problem is, what good does it do that he's saying, you'll return me the paper? The fact is, at the time of the get, he's saying that he wants what would be the difference? In other words, whether he says Almanas, so either or not, when he's saying, when you return me the paper, then the get will take effect. Well, how can it take effect then? The fact is, the words of the get have to be written on paper. So what's the difference, therefore, the Gemara is asking, between the Reisha and the Sefer? In the Reisha, where he says, all along, I want the paper to belong to me. Or in the Sefer, when he says, on condition you give it back, but meaning at this point, the Gemara is assuming that means that until the condition is done, the get won't take effect. Well, again, how can the get take effect when there's no paper for it to take effect on? So what's the difference? Amar Rav Chista, Hamani, Rav Shimon Gamliel, he drama titan lois dem out. So Rav Chista says, evidently this braisa must be like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds in the case of the itzlis that he could give the value instead, that she could give the value instead. Hochinami efter dem afaisa lebedami. So here also then, she doesn't have to give him back the actual paper. Conceivably, she could give him the value of the paper. The paper is worth a dollar, so fine, she'll give him a dollar. And according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's good enough. So therefore, this braisa would have to be according to that. However, Maskifla Abaya, but Abaya says, how could that be? You know what? Even Rav Shimon Gamliel is only talking about the case where the original object no longer exists. So what do you have the case? The itzelis is destroyed or lost or whatever. So then he says, Titin lois demecha. Heichad isa be'enemi omar. Where would Rav Shimon Gamliel say the same kind of thing when the thing still exists? Where, after all, the paper still exists. Even Rav Shimon Gamliel is not necessarily going to say that it would be fine for her to give him the value of it instead of the paper itself. On the face of it, he was machbid on the paper itself. So,
he gave it to her, and the wind came and blew it away.
Whatever the case, the point is, if it came and blew it away, then we could talk. But if not, if she says I'm a nas that you return me the paper, it means he wants the paper itself.
How does it work?
Even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it shouldn't work. Because at the moment when the get is supposed to take effect, she has no get. Rather, Abaya says, our braisa must be going according to Rav Meir, the Omer Be'in and Tnai Kofel. Now, we touched on yesterday, so in Kedushin, the Gemara discusses in some detail that Rav Meir holds, we learn from Tnai B'nei Godu B'nei Ruven, the concept of Tnoyim, and we learn the concept of what is needed in order for a Tnai to be effective. So you have Moshe says to, after B'nei Godu B'nei Ruven asked for the land in Eber HaYarden, so Moshe calls together the Nesiim and Yoshua and tells them as follows. Im Yavru B'nei Godu B'nei Ruven Itchem Es HaYarden, if B'nei Godu B'nei Ruven cross the Yarden with you and help conquer Eretz Yisrael, then they'll receive this land in Eber HaYarden, and if not, then they'll receive land among you in Eretz Yisrael. So the mayor learns from that that you need, that your the mayor learns from that several conditions of what's needed in order for a Tanai to be effective. One of them, it has to be Tanai Kofel. You have to repeat both parts of the Tanai. You have to say, if yes, then this, if not, then not. The Chachamim, by the way, disagree over there and say, no, not necessarily. The Gemara explains there in Kedushin, the Chachamim say, look, in that case, you had to repeat it, because if not, then you could understand, you could say, if they help conquer, they get this land. And if not, then maybe they get this land, maybe not. It's up to you to decide at the time or something. So therefore, Moshe has to clearly say the negative, because otherwise we would misunderstand what the terms of the Tanai are, but not necessarily would that apply in other areas of Tanayim.
Who says that?
And that's the Chachamim say that against Rav Meir over there. So now, our Braise is going according to Rav Meir. Now here he didn't repeat it. He didn't say if you give me back the paper, then this is your get, and if you don't give me back the paper, this is not your get. So therefore it can work. So therefore it works without the Tanai. So therefore the Maisa exists and the Tanai does not. So that would be why in the first case of the Braisa, we would say that when he doesn't say any Tanai, he just says Harez Gitachani Yoshali, the paper is mine, then Einim Agurashis. But in the second one, he's trying to make a Tanai, but he didn't make a Tanai Kofel. Therefore, Abaya says, according to the mayor, there's no Tanai here at all. Therefore, the get is chal without a Tanai. So the get is chal. However, Maskifla Rava, timer de la kafla the Tanai. So what are you implying? Only because he didn't repeat the two parts of the Tanai are you saying it's not a valid Tanai according to that mayor? Ha kafla the Tanai la habagita, implying that if he had repeated it, it wouldn't be a valid get. Because he had said you have to return me the paper, and we would say if you return me the paper, it'll be a get, and if not, then not. Again, mechti, let's consider. Kol Tanai Meheicha Gamrin Lahu. Where do we learn any concept of Tanai from? Mitanai Bnei Godu Bnei Ruben. Ma Hosam Tanai Koidum Lamaisa. Af Kol Tanai Koidum Lamaisa. Now over there, what do you have? The Tanai comes before the Maisa. Moshe phrases it, if Bnei Ruben and Bnei God go and conquer Eretz and help conquer Eretz Yisrael, then you give them this land. And if not, then you don't give them this land. So so you have the tnai comes before the maisa, before the consequence.
Positive.
Not just the positive before the negative. That's the next thing. That's another thing. Here we're talking about that the action comes before the consequence. In other words, if you would have, in other words, Moshe could have phrased it the other way around. You should give them this land if they help conquer Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't. He said, if they conquer Eretz Yisrael, then give them this land. So we learn from that. Reb Meir is learning from that, that you need tnai kodem l'maaseh. Well, af kol tnai kodem l'maaseh. So in any tnai, you have to have the tnai comes before the maaseh. La pochi hocha, the maaseh kodem l'tnai. Here anyway, you have, what are you saying? Hareza gitich, which is the maaseh. Al menasra techziru li asaniyor, on condition that you return me the paper. That's a tnai. So then the maaseh is coming before the tnai. So it's anyway not like tonight, b'nei God or b'nei Reuven. So for that reason alone, we should say it's not a valid tonight. Never mind the question of whether he repeated both halves of the tonight.
But according to Meir, that's good. The first half.
So that's the thing. According to the Meir, the result is that you have, the result is, according to the Meir, you have a get without a tonight. So therefore, the get is valid, period. But the Braise is saying, So the Braise is saying that's fine, Megureshes, but the implication is that, so like this. Abaya was saying that because you don't have a tnai kofel over here, Rav is saying, never mind the tnai kofel. There's another reason why you can say it's not a valid tnai, because he didn't, because he put the maisa before the tnai. That's what Rav is going to answer. The reason why, and the braisa was going to say Megureshes, is because the maisa was before the tnai. Maisa is the giving the get. So actually you have, according to Rashi, just saying that you're going to do such and such, it's considered the maisa. According to the Rambam, they have to be, maisa means the actual maisa. Yeah. Here we're talking about the actual giving. Here we're talking about the actual giving of the get. Tosfos brings up another point of some other details over here as far as tsnoyim that. That for one thing, there's a difference between whether you're able to accomplish it through a shliach. So and b'chlal, you have Tosfos also gets into the discussion: is the halacha in fact like a mayor that you need a tnai kofel and you need all these rules of tnoim or not? The Rambam, by the way, brings an opinion of Geonim that says that yes, we do paskin like a mayor, but only as far as kedushin and gerushin, not for example in dini mominus. The Rambam himself disagrees with that and says, look, tnai b'nei God b'nei Reuven had nothing to do with kedushin and gerushin. So we see therefore that it's relevant to dini mominus as well. So Rava is saying, so don't tell me it's because he didn't repeat the tnai, because the fact is, here you have another flaw in it. You have maisa kodem l'tnai. Elo amar Rava mashum de maisa kodem l'tnai. So Rava says that's exactly it, because the maisa comes before the tnai. Therefore the braisa is saying in that case the get is valid, because in effect there's no tnai at all. Because again, following Abaya's idea that the braisa goes according to the mayor, fine. The problem over here is not that he failed to say it twice, but the fact, even if he had said it twice, the fact that he put the maisa before the tnai. And the fact is, the Ritva says, the braisa may not be repeating itself. The braisa may just be saying in a short way, he said, I'm nas chani yoshali. Maybe in fact, in real life, you would actually have to say, maybe in fact, in real life, we are talking about what he said, and if you don't give me back the paper, then not. But the braisa is phrasing it. It is putting the maisa before the tnai, implying that he's saying like that, hareza gitich, I'm nas chetachziru liyasaniyor, and it's not your get if you don't give me back the paper. So he did repeat it. Maybe the braisa doesn't bother mentioning that because the braisa wants to keep the lashon short, but the fact is, it put the maisa before the tanai, and for that reason alone, we have reason to say that there's no tanai. But maskif lo Rav Adaba Ava, but then Rav Adaba Ava challenges that. Time of the maisa kodem l'tanai. So you're telling me the reason there's no tanai is because the maisa is before the tanai. Ha tanai kodem l'maisa lehav gita, and you're implying that if you had put them in the proper order, first tnai, then the maisa, if you had said, if you return me this paper, then if you return me this paper, it will be a get. And if you don't return it to me, it won't be a get. But again, mechti, let's consider, kol tnai mehecha gamunin lahum tnai b'nei godu b'nei roven, ma hosam tnai b'dover echad maisa b'dover achad. Now, another detail we have as far as tnai and maisa, is the tnai applies to one thing and the maisa applies to something else. Because what is Moshe saying? If they do one thing, which is to help with the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, then they will get something separate, which is the nachla on the east side of the Yarden. So afkol tnai, this afkol, the same way any other tnai has to be in the same way. La puki hocha. as opposed to over here, the Tanai and Maisa, the Dover Echad. Here, the Tanai and the Maisa both refer to the actual thing, both to the get. And the Tanai, in other words, is that that she's going to return the actual get itself, which is what accomplishes the Maisa. So therefore, so Rav Adaba Abba says, never mind the question, even if he had repeated the Tanai, and even if he had put the Maisa, even if he had put the Tanai before the Maisa, don't you have another problem over here that the Tanai and the Maisa are not in two different things? They're both in the same thing itself, in the validity of the get. So in the validity of and the returning of the get.
One's returning get and one is the
bought. One is the get taking effect and the other one is returning it, but they're still, they both involve the actual get itself. So therefore, Rav Adaba Abba says, Elo Amar Rav Adaba Abba, Mishum, the Tanai Umaisa, B'davar Echad. You're right, the reason why the Braisa is saying that it's not a valid Tanai is because it's Tanai Umaisa, B'davar Echad.
Even if he gave the money.
Even if she gave him back the... So in other words, so Rav Adaba Abba would say, when the Braisa said Megurashis, meaning on the face of it, the Braisa is saying whether she returns him the paper or not, either way, the divorce takes effect. So first we thought, no. So when we started the discussion, we thought that she would have to give him either the paper or the money. And because she can't give him the paper, because then on the face of it, the get, remember, so far we're all assuming that this is without amanas ka'imam achshav. We're assuming that the get is only going to take effect when she completes the tanai. Well, in that case, the problem is, how could she do that? If the get is only going to take effect when she returns on the paper, then there's nothing for the letter. There's nothing for the letters of the get to be on. So that we started by saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel would allow her to give the money instead. We shot that down because even Rav Shimon Gamliel is not going to allow that when the paper still exists. So that's when we're going through to Meir. In all the various answers we had so far, Abayas and Ravas and Rav Adaba Abba's answers, all of them presuppose that what we're saying is she doesn't have to return him anything. He thought that he was making a tanai, but in the end, because he failed to follow the mayor's rules for tanayim, then therefore there's no tanai and the get is chal without any tanai. So now you have one second. So now you have Abaya had said that the flaw was that he hadn't repeated it. Rava had said not necessarily. The flaw is that he put the maisa before the tanai. And Rav Adaba Abba says never mind that. The flaw is that the tanai and the maisa are in dover echad.
It doesn't work
as a tanai, so therefore there is no tanai. The rule is, and we're going to learn this at the end of the Masechta, that if a person makes a tanai for a get and the tanai does not follow the rules of tanayim, for example, we're going to talk about now the Chachamim disagree with Reb Meir. They say you don't need tanai kofel, you don't need tanai kodem maisa and all that, but for example, they do agree that the tanai has to be something that the other person can fulfill. So suppose, for example, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. Suppose the husband says to the wife, here's your get, and it'll take effect. Amanas chetali l'rakia, amanas that you go up to the heavens. Well, she can't physically do that. So therefore, we say that's not a tanai. That's just stam he's hacking. He's stam drinking a cup. Yeah. So the get is chal without the tanai being fulfilled. So now, yeah, so that's the point over here. So now in Abayas and Rabbas and Rav Adaba Abba's answers, we're all saying that the Braisa is saying that the get will take effect without the Tanai being fulfilled. It takes effect as soon as he gives it to her because the Tanai is not a Tanai for one reason or another, because he didn't repeat the two parts of the Tanai, or because he didn't put the Tanai before the Maisa, or because it was B'davar Achad, right? And Tosfos, in fact, points out, Rava himself agrees that Rava himself holds Amanas Ka'imam Achshav Dami. So, and here in our sugya over here, we're talking about on the face of it that Rava is saying that we're not talking about Amanas being Ma'achshav. But the Tosfos says the vote is that Rava says, according to Rebbe, we would say Amanas Ka'imam Achshav Dami. Sure, the halacha is like Rebbe, but we want to try to make this braisa work, even according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe. That is why Rava doesn't just say, "Look, Amanas Ka'imam Achshav Dami finished." Therefore the get can take effect at the time, and what's done afterwards is only to make the get actually be chal, but then it will be chal retroactively, and then that would neatly solve the whole problem, which is in fact what Rav Ashi is going to say in the next thing of the Gemara. But Rava wanted to make the braisa work, even according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe. So now, Rav Ashi Yom, Homani Rebbe, So now Rav Ashi says, no, you don't have to do all those answers. You can just say, all Braisa goes according to Rebbe, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, I'll call him Amanaska, Ma'akshav Dami. Whenever a person says Amanas, it's considered, like you said, Ma'akshav. So therefore, so in effect, he's saying, here's your get. It'll take effect as of now, Amanas, on condition that you return me the paper. So therefore, so as soon as she receives it, then all she has to do is return the paper. She'll return it to him later on. And the get will be in effect retroactively back to when she received it. So therefore, so with that, you don't need all the rules of Tanoim. So it comes out, in other words, this that we say, all these rules, you need Tanai Kofel and Tanai Kodal Maisa and so forth, is only when you're doing a Tanai, but here it's not a Tanai, here it's Me'achshav, and therefore it has different rules. So it's a Matana, Manas L'Achshav. So that's a Matana, Manas L'Achshav, and that's a valid Matana. Tosfos also points out, by the way, that what it is when Rav Adar Bar Ava was pointing out about Tnai or Maisa B'Davar Echad. Now you can have, for example, let's say, you know, here is this Esrig as a present, Amanas, that you return it to me. That's not considered, even if we didn't say Amanas Goyim Achshav, that wouldn't be a problem, because giving the Esrig to the person is not contradicting. You're going to take this Esrig, you're going to be Yotze with it by shaking it together with the Lulav, and then you'll return it to me. But over here, what we're saying is, So in fact, he is Yotze right away. But here, Rav Adar Bar Ava was saying, on the face of it, the Tanai contradicts the Maisa, because the get is only going to be Chal after the Tanai is taking effect. So now Rav Ashi is saying, you don't have to worry about that again. Like with the Esrig, it'll take effect before, but it'll take effect retroactively to when he picked up the Esrig or when she received the get. And just, you need the thing done afterwards, so that's fine. The Gemara says, now getting back to, we learned in the Mishnah. So we were discussing in the Mishnah the case of a shchiv merah gives a get. Actually, not really in the Mishnah so much, but we discussed in the Gemara. We had the case where a person is giving a get shchiv merah, and we discussed the question: is he able to undo that? What if he recovers from his illness? We talked about this the other day. So now talking about conditions in Gittin, and also related then to this whole matter of Tanai, Kodon L'maisa, and all that we were just discussing, the Gemara says, Askin Shmuel begitta de Shchiv Merah. Shmuel made a takana regarding a get that a Shchiv Merah is giving. He should say as follows, Im loy mati lo yehe get, if I do not die from this illness, then this should not be a get. Im mati yehe get, and if I die, then it should be a get. Because he has to repeat the Tanai. So one answer is in fact that Shmuel holds the halacha is like Reb Meir. The other way of looking at it is maybe he doesn't hold the halacha is like Reb Meir, but just to be on the safe side, in case the halacha is like Reb Meir, then therefore at least we have the Tanai Kofel. But so the Gemara asks Lema. So why does he say it in that order? The Lema imati yehe get v'imloi mati lo yehe get. Why not say the other way around? If I die, it should be a get, and if I don't die, it shouldn't be a get. And the answer is loy makdim inish puronus l'nafshe. A person doesn't want to mention the puronus on himself first, so he doesn't want to mention first. If I die, he'd rather leave that for as long as possible. But the Gemara says, how does that work? Burin and tnai kodem l'maisa. The fact that so the Gemara asks, yeah, so therefore loy makdim inish puronus l'nafshe. So the Gemara asks, v'loy malo yehe getim loy mati. Fine. Why does he say it in that order? Why doesn't he say it shouldn't be a get if I don't die? And then he would say it is get if I do die. And the answer is, but in a Tanai Kodem L'maisa, because again, you need the Tanai before the Maisa. So he has to first say that if I die or if I don't die, as the case may be, first before he says it will or it won't be a get. So therefore, so Shmuel's Takana takes care of both of those problems. You have Tanai Kodem L'maisa, and you have Tanai Kofel, and you have Tanai Kodem L'maisa. However, Maskif Lo Rava, but Rava says we still have one problem. Mechti, let's consider. Kol Tanai Mehecha Gamrinan. Where are we learning the concept of Tanai, Mitanai B'nei Godu B'nei Ruben? Mahosam Hein Kodem L'Lav. Now there you have the positive came before the negative. If they help conquer Eretz Yisrael, then you should give them this land. And if they don't, then you should not give it to them. So you have to have the yes comes before the no. Af Kol, and the same thing, Rav Meir holds, and the halacha is like Rav Meir, that you need the hain before the lav. La poki hacha de lav kodem lahain. But here in Shmuel's takana, you have the lav coming before the hain. So how does that work? By the way, Rashi points out that even though you need a tanai kofel, what would happen? So Rashi says, because you need a tanai kofel, what would happen is we don't want her to be also to her husband right away. We just wanted to use it to save her from chalitza or yibum or whatever. So if we don't make sure that the tanai is valid, then the get is going to take effect right away. In particular, if he's a koyin, then there's a problem. He's not going to be able to remarry her. That is why Shmuel is trying to make sure, and Rava is trying to make sure that we make sure this tanai is ironclad. So Shmuel is doing that by making it a tanai kofel and tanai koyin l'maisa. But Rava says you're missing out, though, the fact that you need hein koyin malav. So Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says, no, what you have to do is, you can't just say, now, of course, you could say very simple. Okay, let him say, imati yeheget. The problem is, we just said, like, mak the minish puronus alanafshe. The person doesn't want to have to put the puronus first. He doesn't want to run a first start out the sentence with, if I die. So how do we work it? So Ella Omar Rava, what he should say is, im loy mati yeheget, imati yeheget, im loy mati yeheget. He should say, if I don't die, it should not be a get. If I do die, it should be a get. If I don't die, it shouldn't be a get. So he should repeat the sentence 1.5 times, basically. He's first saying the negative, then the positive, then the negative. So this way he covers all bases. Im loy mati loy get, loy mak diminish peronus l'nafshe. First he mentions that I won't die, and that way he's not mentioning a peronus for himself. And that way, in particular, also he's a shchiv merai, he's on his deathbed. You don't want to be titorif daita, you don't want him to be so afraid that he's not going to think clearly. So like this, you tell him to say im loy mati, which is a nice positive thing for him to say about himself. Then imati yehegeti my mati lo yeget bein and hein koyin malav, and that way we take care of the hein koyin malav. In other words, we ignore the first part that he said. The first part that he said was just basically to make him feel good. The actual tanai itself will be the hein and then the lav, and the two parts that he says, if I die versus if I don't die, which covers this. So that way it covers everything. But we've also covered the mach diminish poyin nusal and afshe by having him fine, you know, just to make him feel better. Let him say the im loy mati first. Okay, and that's the halach. Mishnah says, he was more dinim about tnoim of gittin. Hareza gittach amanascha to shamshias abba. The husband says, here's your get, and it'll take effect. Amanas, that you serve my father. Or amanascha to nikias bni, or on condition that you nurse my child. So they have a child without the tnai, not necessarily would she be required to nurse the child. She could give it to a wet nurse, for example. So kamahimani kotoi, as far as the nursing, how long does she have to nurse him for to be yotze that tonight? Shtei shanim, 2 years, which is the normal amount of time that a baby is nursed. As far as serving his father, Rashi says it would have to be for the remainder of the father's life, because he didn't specify. Rabbi Yehuda oimer shmoina asachodesh. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need full 2 years, all you need is 18 months, which in fact, in Ksubas, we had a sugya over there, we had a Mishnah over there about one of the things that the wife has to do for her husband is to nurse the baby rather than... So we talked about it, but there also you have the same machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, how long a baby is normally nursed for, 2 years or 18 months. It's, by the way, Negea, even you know, the halacha is 2 years, but it's also negeya as far as a woman allowed to remarry during that time. If a woman's husband has died or divorced her, she's not supposed to get remarried during that amount of time, because then if she becomes pregnant, then her milk will dry up or sour or whatever, and the baby will be in danger, and the new husband may not bother getting formula for the baby. Well, whatever the equivalent of formula was, Beitz and Mechalav, the Gemara calls it eggs and milk. Yeah, so whatever. The point is that he may not hire a wet nurse or whatever. Yeah, so therefore, you do have that din as well. So here also, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing whether it's 2 years or 18 months. Continues the Mishnah, Mes HaBen, what happens if during those 2 years, there were 18 months, the child dies, Osha Mes HaAv, or the father dies during that time, Hareza a get. It's still a valid get, because he didn't specify how long it should be, so he just meant, in other words, so as long as is necessary. Well, at this point, the baby or the father doesn't need it anymore.
Well, the father can be heading up to Yershin.
What?
They can go to the Yershin, then.
Because he specifically said my father. So yeah. So therefore, it would be a get. On the other hand, but if he specified an amount of time, you serve my father for 2 years, or amanasha tenikis b'ni shtei shonim, then mesa ben oisha omara av if she shamsheni, or if the father says, I don't want her to serve me, at shaloi b'hakpada, it's not because she got him angry. It's not because she got him upset. So even though she didn't do anything to, in other words, if she had gotten him upset, then you could say, okay, then maybe you would say it's her fault that the tenai is not being fulfilled and therefore it can't be a get. The chiddush is even she didn't do anything to anger him. He decided on his own he doesn't want her to serve him. Nevertheless, ain't a get. It can't be a get because the fact is that the tenai was not fulfilled. Reb Shimon Gamliel, because they're get. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says in that case it would be a valid get.
She was willing.
She was willing, exactly. Klal Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel, Kolak Kavar She'ena Hemena. Reb Shimon Gamliel says a general rule, any holding back, any impediment to the Tanai being fulfilled that doesn't come from her, like in this case, it's considered a valid get. So therefore, that's it. She was willing to nurse the baby or serve the father. He doesn't want her. The baby is dead or whatever. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says it would be a valid. So therefore, it would be valid because the tenai was made. She would have been willing to fulfill it, and just she wasn't able to. Tosfos discusses a couple of things over here. First of all, we're saying in the first case where he just left it open ended, he just said on condition that you nurse the baby or that you whatever. Harei zaget. So Rashi says, in other words, that even if the baby died during the 2 years. Even if the baby died during the 2 years, how does it get? Because all he needed is it should be for as long as necessary. Tosfos says the mashmos is that if she hadn't nursed the baby at all or served the father at all, it wouldn't be a get. In other words, as long as she did it for even one day, then fine. But not if she didn't do it at all. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses maybe not necessarily. Tosfos says it could be that the mess and the mess haben or av or whatever means before she even did anything. But we discussed in the Gemara yesterday the question of harvocha versus letzair. Is he doing it just harvocha because he needs the service and he figures he may as well save on the cost of a wet nurse or the cost of a nurse for the father or whatever, and therefore he can gain like this. He can always attach it as a tenai to the get, but not that he's meaning to be metzair her, not that he's dafka trying to harass her and make things difficult for her. So therefore we can say that even if the father died or the child died before anything happened at all, then it would still work. So that's what Tosfos says.
But is that what my achshav that could start that takes effect now, or takes effect that?
Well, he said amanas, and he said the halacha is amanas and an achshav dummy. So in the end, it does work. But the point
one day,
right? So yeah, but that's so according to Rashi, he has to have done it for at least one day. According to Tosfos, even if she didn't do it at all, it would still be chal because the fact is he only said laharvacha. He only said laharvacha. He wanted to gain from it, and like this, it's not necessary. And Tosfos discusses another point as well. We learned before that we had Nesina Bar Kocha Lehav Nesina. There also you have the impediment is not from her here in our Mishnah. This is not one of the three cases. We said the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Here the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. And if that cover is not from her, then it is a get. So why was Rava saying before that Nesina Bar Kocha Lehav Nesina in the first version of Rava at the beginning of the Gemara? So Tosfos says, because over here, the difference is it's for sure only for Harvacha, whereas over there, when he says the fact is he wants 200 zuz, means he wants the 200 zuz, and then the fact is that Tanai wasn't the sky. So it's one thing. We talk about whether he's Moichel or not. So because he himself was Moichel, but here he's not Moichel anything. Here the father died or the son died, so therefore we can, or the father refuses it. So that's different than being Moichel. If he said I'm Moichel, it would be one thing, but if he says I refuse to have her serve me, that's something else. Yeah? So the Gemara asks, "Miba inen kolahai? Really, does she have to nurse him for 2 whole years to be mekayim tonight? Or a mini have a contradiction? A brisa says she mashtu yom echad if she served the father for even one day, and hanikatu yom echad, or if she nursed the baby for even one day. And we don't mean one day; we mean even part of a day, mitzaseim kekula or whatever. So then, hareis a get, and it is a valid get, no matter what happens afterwards." The answer is Amar of Chista, like Tasha Harabanan Vahar Reb Shimon Gamliel. So they have different opinions. Masnissin Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ubraisa Rabbanan. So our Mishnah would be going like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and therefore saying
right away
that one day is enough. All he wants is Harvacha, and the Braisa that says that you need only one. So therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel Fakir to say you need the full 2 years. He's saying that you want Harvacha. You want to be able to gain like this. You need 2 years of nursing the baby, and instead of having to hire a wet nurse, you figure you can tie it to the get, and that way you'll get it for free. Braisa Rabbanim, whereas the Braisa goes according to the Chachamim, who say that, that again, going back to the case of the Itzelis, Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying that he just wanted the value of the Itzelis. So if the Itzelis itself is gone, you can give the value. So therefore, we see Reb Shimon Gamliel compares with the value of things. The Chachamim are saying he wants the Itzelis itself. So he also, the fact is, he said she should nurse, he said she should serve or whatever. She did that. So therefore, even one day is enough to be Makayim that.
That's according to
them. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, it would be valid for even one day. And in fact, Tosfos says that would be, so in other words, the Chachamim would say that he means Latsa'ura, he wants to be Mitzayra. Okay, he was Mitzayra for one day, so therefore that's enough. So that's what Rav Chisda says. On the other hand, the question is, the Gemara asks, how could you say that? Homer is safer to Shimon Gamliel having the Tal Dereisha Lavra of Shimon Gamliel. The safer of our Mishnah presents Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. That implies the previous part of the Mishnah was not.
Even though usually we try the Mishnah to go according to both.
We try to have a Mishnah go according to everybody, but here, if we're going to say the Mishnah goes according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but it sounds like the beginning is according to the Chachamim, and only the end is presenting Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Ella, no, we have to answer differently. Braisa Rav Shimon Gamliel, he the maker of a Tanai, just the opposite. We can say that Braisa is going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's maker when it comes to a Tanai, just like we find that she can give the value of the Itzelis, or just like we find in our Mishnah that she said that he says where the Akava, where the impediment to fulfilling the Tanai did not come from him. So therefore, Safakir, the Braisa would be according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who we see as maker with these things, and the Mishnah, Masnissin, Rabbanon. The Mishnah would be according to the Chachamim, who are machmir with the matters of Tanoim, and they say you have to have the thing itself done, and therefore you need the full 2 years. So that's Rav Chisda's answer. Rava Amalei Kasha, Rava says there's a different way of answering. Kan b'stam, kan b'mafarish. The Mishnah is talking about, he just said stam, and the Braisa is saying, well, he said specifically a certain amount of time. So even if he said one day, so fine, she did the one day, then that's good. So the Braisa says he says one day. So in other words, the Chiddush is Tosfos says in that case where he said one day, if the child died before the father died before he had a chance to serve, then it taka wouldn't be a get, because he was, the Gemara is assuming he was makel on her so much, he's only requiring her one day. But the fact is that so we would think therefore, so even if she didn't end up nursing at all, what does he care? Nevertheless, we're saying he cares that at least it should be done for some amount of time. So that would be the Chiddush of the Braisa.
But only because something had to be done, but the child.
Fine, but yeah. Nevertheless, we would still say if he hadn't said, then he would have just said nothing at all. He would have said open ended, and then as long as she does it for one day, maybe it would be enough. But here, Rav Ashi Yomar. Rav Ashi gives another answer. Kol stam namik mafarish yom echad dami. No, if he just says stam, then it means just one day. So the Braisa is saying one day, because all he said is stam, you nurse the baby, and therefore all she has to nurse him for is one day. So now what is he going to do with the Mishnah? What is he going to do with the Mishnah? We'll see in a second. So Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah. We said, she has to nurse the baby for 2 years, Rabbi Yehuda and Shemayin HaSafadish, and Rabbi Yehuda says 18 months. B'shlema l'rovan nicha, so according to Rava's explanation, it works out very well. The Mishnah is talking about he didn't say anything, therefore 2 years. The Braisa is saying he said one day, so therefore one day is enough. But according to Rav Ashi, why do you need 2 years or 18 months? It should be enough with one day, because he's saying that the Braisa is saying also where it's stam, and one day is enough, so why isn't it good enough over here? The answer is Hachi Kamar. What Rav Ashi says, what the Braisa means is Yom Echad Mishtei Shonim. It can be one day, but it has to be one day within the 2 years, meaning the first 2 years of the baby's life. La puki la achar shtei shanim deloy, meaning as opposed to not after 2 years. In other words, if the husband had said, you nurse him, and Rav Ashi is saying without specifying, it means one day. So she decided, okay, I'll wait till the kid is 2 years old and then I'll nurse him for the one day. That wouldn't work. It has to be done within his 2 years. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would have to be within the 18 months. But the Braisa and the Mishnah can still be talking about stam. So the Gemara says, Maisvi, though, I have another contradiction. The Mishnah continues. Here's your get on condition that you serve my father for 2 years. Or that you nurse the baby for 2 years. Mesa ben, if during that time the son dies, or the father says, even without anger, I don't want her to serve me. Ain't a get. So again, the Shlema, the Rava, Reisha, but like Parish, Sefer, the Parish. So according to Rava, we understand very easily. The beginning of the Mishnah is talking about where he didn't specify. Therefore, it means two years. But in the first case, because he didn't specify, as long as she did it for whatever amount of time during that 2 years was necessary, then we're good. And the safer would be he explicitly said it has to be 2 years, no less. But according to Rav Ashi, how do you understand the Mishnah? And the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right. According to Rav Ashi, it would be difficult to understand the Mishnah. So Kasha is not Tuvta. There would be a way for entering what Rav Ashi is saying, but nevertheless, it's still Shver on it. So Tosfos discusses, in other words, that according to Rashi, the question is, again, how do we reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer? According to Tosfos, the question is a little bit different. We're saying that when he says in the Sefer 2 years, he must mean to be Mitzayer. So what's the difference? So even if the father dies, then it shouldn't be a get, because after all, she didn't do the 2 years. But according to Rav Ashi, that it's not a matter of Tzayer, no matter what, we say Yom Echad, and that doesn't matter whether Miskaven Mitzayer or not, unless he specified 2 years. So the question would be, why would the get be kosher? If the father died, it should be like in the Sefer, because he meant to be Mitzayer her, and so the Gemara is leaving that as a Kasha on Rav Ashi. Okay, so that discussion will continue in the next.